Thank you, my brother. And as you look into your Bible in Joshua chapter 24, I just briefly going to remind you of a few things. You have received the church bulletin. If you do not have one, you can raise your hand and you get one. Inside the bulletin is the outline of the sermon. It is a letter from Missionary Avila. And also it is the pastoral report. Last Sunday was the quarterly business meeting. And you have the pastor's report included into the bulletin. You have some friends who are Spanish. We in Sunday school has finished the book of Colossians. We start in January, the first Sunday. And in Spanish, I wrote for my class from the very beginning to the very end, verse by verse, outline of the book of Colossians. This is what the class is studying. And if you are Spanish and you are not in this class, you should be in this class. There's a penalty of $50 for not coming, but that's good. All right? It is a wonderful thing and to study the Word of God and to put it together. And on the last class, I put for the class the entire booklet is free of charge to you. We are grateful to God that we can provide all of this educational material so that you get to know. By the way, the coming Sunday, God's willing, we want to start the Gospel of Matthew. And if you really want to know Jesus, that was on my master when I was in seminary. The Gospel of Matthew is to me the one who explained Jesus in a marvelous way. And we're going to go verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph on the Gospel of Matthew for 2 years and get the Gospel of Matthew really know and see what the Gospel is. So you come about 9:45, 10 o'clock, start classes for all ages. And if you're Spanish, you have a class in Spanish. Hopefully in the new building, we're going to have Korean class, Japanese class, and Tagalog class. It's just providing for everybody to know the Word of God as the living God, Word. Today, in 21 countries, celebrate Father's Day. And you maybe already received calls like I did early in the morning, or I may call early in the morning to greet people and tell them how wonderful it is to have a day of remembrance that we are fathers. Only one caller told me, he said, well, it's not so much about you, Gabriel. No, no. He said, no, it's about your wife. If you do not have your wife, you cannot be a father. So so that was brother-in-law Jorge. That's Martha's husband. And I had to think how to get back with him. All right. One of the most special relationships is the father and the child relationship. And it seems that this is one that the devil fights more than any other relationship. The relationship of a father with a child. I wonder sometimes why does Satan fight this relationship so much? Because when dad is being the spiritual leader he should be, his influence is so great that the whole family is affected by it. Dads are given one of the prevalent, most important jobs on the face of the whole earth, to get those children grow up and be a child of God. Now, there is no class that you can take how to be a father. You cannot enroll and learn how to become a good dad. Oh, there are seminars, there are suggestions, but there is no a class that you said, well, I'm going to be a father, now I enroll in the city hall, and I'm going to see what must I do as a father. So, what can we do? All right, I'm going to give you two suggestions and then the study. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16 and 17, page 702, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, the Bible tells us what the Bible is good for. What the Bible is good for. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and verse 17. The Bible says all is scripture, that means Old Testament and New Testament, is given by inspiration, by the breath of God, and is good, profitable, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For what? Here's verse 17, how explained it. That the man of God may be perfect. Perfect means fitted. Not perfect without mistakes. There is no such a thing in the world. But fitted, prepared. That the man of God be prepared, truly furnished unto all good works. If you really want to prepare yourself to be a good father, you need to have this book called the Bible. Not only have the book, you need to read the book. Where you start? In Genesis, where the Bible starts. You maybe read Genesis 100 times, and then you get to understand creation. You get to understand yourself, and you get to understand the responsibilities of man. As a matter of fact, the Genesis have the whole thing that you need to know, and the rest of the Bible is explaining what Genesis really is saying. So now, I thought to myself, what should I do this morning for you to help you to visualize the responsibilities that we have as parents? Well, I spoke yesterday to the men, and I said that I like examples, and I do like examples. And the reason is because of Romans 15 and verse 4. In Romans 15 and in verse 4, page 669 in your Bible, the Bible said this, for whatsoever things were written before or aforetime were written for our learning. Ladies and gentlemen, this big section of the Bible called the Old Testament was written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. In other words, the Old Testament is just not a historical book about the Jewish people. It is not just a story about the development of Israel. Is the voice of God telling us, this is what happened to these people. This is what these people did good. This is what these people did bad. And look at the consequences. In other words, I have a live newspaper from the past to know what really happened if I disobey God. To know what really happened if I obey God. Not in theology in my head, but in the reality in the life of people. And so I picked a fellow. I was fighting. Who should I take today to the table here and examine his life? And I'm going to take Joshua. So I'm going to look in Joshua as a doctor will look when somebody listens, when a doctor listens to somebody in his desk talking to him. What are his choices? What are his commitments? And who are the people that he mixed with? We call the clan. All right? Because if you tell me who are your people you mix with, then I know a lot of things about you right away. So here it is. We're going to study Joshua. Joshua 24 will be our passage. And we're going to look into his choices. And we're going to look into this man's commitments. As you know, from Joshua 1:1, he was the successor of Moses. He has a double function. He was the general-in-chief of the armies of Israel. And he was the president of his nation. And he was the one who delivered Israel into the land, the promised land. No Moses, but him, Joshua. He was the one who the Bible said in Joshua 15 that he gave Israel every bit of the land that God promised them. A remarkable man. A great strategical military man. A man of faithfulness. A man of a behavior that is worthy to be imitated. And I want to see his family life. You know, we read about this guy was a great king, and this guy was this and the other. But what about a family man? What kind of man is he in his family? We're going to know here this morning. In verses 1 to 14, the brother read for us, Joshua summoned all the people of Israel to a place called Shechem. He called also the elders, means the ministers and the officers, and had other leaders to meet there. So I want to meet everybody at Shechem. Once they were all assembled there, he began to remind them of how God brought them from the east of the Euphrates River, where they had served and worshipped idols, to the land that God himself had graciously provided for them. He gave a brief of the history of these people. He said, we came from the Euphrates rivers, that's Abraham. We came all the way from Iraq, all the way here, and here we are now in the promised land. Now, I want you to look verse 13 and verse 14. In verse 13, we read, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Each time you read in the Bible olives, that's what they love. Arabs and Jew, they love olives. And my wife knows that she had to have a buckle of olives in my home, because I eat 20 or 30 a day. All right. 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the God which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the nation is speaking. Serve Jehovah. Now look in verse 15 now, because I want to speak. I don't have the time to speak in all of these verses, but I have the time to speak in verse 15, three words in verse 15. And look at what he says to the people. He says, serve the Lord. Now comes David. He takes the shoulder of a general out. He takes his coat out. And now he speaks like a daddy. Listen, Daddy Joshua. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, now it doesn't say my nation, it's Daddy speaking, as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Joshua was a dad who knew choices have to be made. And look at what he did. He gave them three choices who they could serve. First, look at what he says. Whether the God which your father served. You see at the beginning in verse 15, he said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the God which your father served. Their fathers have not served the true and living God. He gave them opportunity of being a sheep of the old block, as we in America said. You want to be like your daddy? Go ahead. Make that choice. And many dads have made their choice today just like that. One of the reasons why eagerly I mix with the people in this town and I drink coffee and donuts and things with people and talk to people. And when I approach them about the Lord, many times the same thing comes. Well, you know, my dad was this and I will be this. They want to be a sheep of the old block. They are following in the footsteps of their dad. Rather than learn from their mistakes, they are duplicating their mistakes. Joshua gave all the dads at that gathering the choice. They could follow in the footsteps of their daddy and go and worship these idols if you want to. So choice number one, you can be like your dad and go in that way to hell. Number two, look at in verse 15 again, he said, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Amorites were all around them. That was the neighbors. So they could look around and then serve the gods of the Amorites that surrounded them all around them. Many contemporary dads have made this choice even today, 6,000 years later. They have looked around then and have decided they want to serve the gods of the Amorites. Which are the gods of the Amorites today in America? Okay, here are some. The god of materialism. The god of materialism. I need to improve my life. That means have more goods. And have goods super quality. People are buying in Santana Road, I read in the Mercury paper, more things, $1,000 and $2,000 up than the things at $20 and $30. Can you figure out that? The newspaper said that the items of $2, $3, $5, and $10,000 in the store in Santana Road, they are gone right away, but the $40 and $50 they are not. Why? Because prestige or whatever. And I tell you how rich is the Silicon Valley. Materialism. I need to have this, and I need to have the other, and I need to have the other. The God of wealth. You need to come to the gym in the morning. And people know me from the gym as I mix my life with them, whether at 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever. And I ask people, why are you here? Oh no, I need to have my physique, you know, I need to look good. No, I said, come on. You need to get your cardiovascular system moved, but get out of here, and there is a nice donut shop here, and man, you can get 12 donuts right away. You know, and oh no, I need to look good. Amazing. The God of wealth. There are people crazy. I saw one like looking in the newspaper for the stocks. Crazy. Imagine. They're in America. People are crazy. Not in Panama or in Buenos Aires and the other. In America, people are crazy about becoming wealthy. The gods of the Amorite. What about the God of pleasure? The God of pleasure. What about the God of self? Self. I am sick and tired to hear this. Pastor, no, we cannot go to church because Sunday is my day. See, when you are blind, what happened? Sunday is my day. You know, I work hard 6 days a week. I need a day for me. Self. Self. Every day, life is filled with decisions that are just as important, if not more important than that. But many dads do not even stop to consider the direction they are taking and leading their children into. They are so busy in making money, they take care less and less of their home. I listened to a report this morning, 4:15, MBSM. A dad spent 15 minutes of a day with his child, not necessarily talking to his child, but nearby his child. And do you want America to prosper when the home in America is destroyed? See, dads look around and see all the Amorites serving their gods and decide they are going to do the same thing, the blind leading the blind. Joshua told them they could serve the gods of their fathers, that's the idolatry they came from, or serve the gods of the Amorites, the people around them. But they have a third choice. Look in your Bible again in 24 and in verse 15. And the third choice at the end of the verse said, but as for me, he says, and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, they could make the right choice. As for me, we will serve the Lord. And my question is, what was Joshua saying when he said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? I think he was saying this, that as much as he loved the land where his father came from, and as much as he loved the dads who had chosen to serve the gods of the Amorites, he was not going to make the same mistake they made. He's going to take a stand. He was going to serve the Lord. Imagine that, saying that to his family. Our family will serve the Lord. Joshua was a man who recognized the importance of making the right choice. He was not going to let someone else make the choice for him. He's going to make it. My family will serve the Lord. And let me give you some tough examples. I mean tough, it's going to hurt. Do you want your children to pray? You come to pray meeting. You got it? Don't have to say a word. You say to your family, today, 7 o'clock, we take you off. We're going to pray together. And you come and pray. We're going to come to Sunday school. We're going to learn the Bible. The whole family is going to learn the Bible. And you make the right choices. Your children, that's all right. Fix it. Like I did. You have to see me going to Sunday school. 6 blocks had to walk. My mother grabbed me by the hand and spanked me 20 times until I arrived there. Because I wanted to go and play soccer. I thank God my mother did. I thank God. I don't want to hear my grandmother's reading the Bible for me in the morning, 4 o'clock. We had to cut the wood, put the wood on the stuff, everything, put the raw chocolate, that's good. Raw chocolate from the tree over there and burning, and then mama with the guitar, grandma with the guitar, reading the Bible in Arab. 1 hour, 2 hour, finally done. But you know, I got an idea. That book must be good. Grandma read it every day. Might be good. And grandma opened the windows of her kitchen. And on the other side was a wall. And she said, perhaps today. And how many times when grandma was not there, I look on it. And I said, perhaps what? You know, you're a child. You don't understand. What a hope she had. Perhaps today. See, that is the choice you have to make. Somebody told me this, sir, America have no choice for president today. Maybe so. Maybe in their opinion, they are right. But you know why? Because the people of God do not pray. If the people of God will be praying, if the people of God will come and pray, God will change this nation all over again. Amen. It is not about this man or this other man. They are not guilty. We are guilty. Daddies, put your pants, we say in Spanish. You know, when we have a wife who talks too much, we say, hey, put your pants, control your wife. You know, that's a Spanish dog. You see what it is? It is not the fault of anybody, it's our fault. Some people told me, oh, so and so, he's lucky. His children are in the church. They were referred to the laurels, somebody who knows them. So they're very lucky. No, no, they are not lucky. They're in church. And what do you expect? The children, even his son is blessed in Spanish now. Imagine that. He's a little higher than you. He's learning Spanish. What choice are you going to make? Are you tired? Just take $3 and a cup of chocolate, whatever. Are you tired? Come on. Are you tired to come and pray? When you have a car and a freeway, freeway is not like the East Coast. There is highway you have to pay, a freeway, and you come and you pray. You leave prayer meeting. You come tired, I tell you, but you leave prayer meeting a different person. And if you are a young fellow, I even give you a coffee free. All right. We go to Starbucks and we fill that place and we rejoice it and the people are watching. And we got Chris talking to everybody, the neighbors, the people, everybody. It's amazing. You know, we have only one thing to do. We have to share the gospel. We have to share the word of God. This is our goal, not the goal of the Amorites, not the God of our fathers and idols. We are here, we are saved, we know the Lord, and we have a burden. The other people may know the Lord in America, be America again. We forgot this. So here's your choice. The God of your fathers, the neighbor's God, or the God of the Bible. Now, look at his commitment. You go back to the text and look at what he says in verse 15. He said, choose you this day whom ye will serve, but for me. That word, make a circle on that word me. Notice the word serve. One of the biggest lies Satan has convinced people to believe is that they can serve him and be free to do as they please. They did it to Eve and make a mess of the entire world. The bondage of Satan is the most severe bondage you can possibly imagine. The lost man may think he is free to do as he pleases. Actually, he is a slave to the evil habits. Tell somebody on drugs to stop drugs if he wants to. He can. He is a slave to other sinners, trying to live as to be accepted by them. I have a young fellow from Los Banos, the parents brought to my office here. Brilliant fellow. Put him in the computer. I taught him trigonometry right away. So I teach you how trigonometry, tangents, cotangent, this. I show you how to do it in the computer. And brilliant. The fellow is in a band with people. Twice in the police. And the parents, they drop it in my office thinking they are going to put their hand on it and they're going to do a miracle. When I talk to the parents about God, they say, well, we don't like that stuff. We are this and this, and we don't care about these religions of yours. 6 months later, that boy was number one in math. The school calls the church. And the school want us to, me to go and teach the Spanish gangsters mathematics. I said, no, if the school allow me to teach 1 hour the Bible, I teach you math. So that's illegal in America. That's the problem. They want me to teach high mathematics, but they don't want the simplicity of the gospel. My friend, that's the choice. There is no commitment on the people's heart. Joshua said, as for me, I will serve the Lord. You have to make that commitment in your life. You have to make a commitment to say, I will be at church. Sunday is the day of the Lord. I will be at church. Wednesday we pray. I will be in prayer meeting. I will be a man of God. And then everybody is going to watch it. And things start to change. But when there is no commitment, then expect worse and worse results. Now look at the clan that Joshua associated with. He said, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my neighbors, not. As for me and my city, no, as for me and my house. Joshua did not say, fellows, I am going to go home and talk this over with the clan and see what they think about it. He did not say, well, as for me, I had to go home and talk to my wife and talk to my children, take a boat and see what they want to do. No, sir. He was the head of his home, like the Bible says. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, period. There seems to be a lack of that kind of courage in men today. But if that is going to be the kind of father that is pleasing to the Lord, he had better have some courage to face the clan and say to his family, this family will serve the Lord whether you like it or not. When dad spent more time with their dog or fishing or with friends than when their family, then we got troubles. That's what we got troubles. We are in the position that we are in America with this uncertainty of choices for our presidency. Uncertainty, not only the president. You listen to the Congress. You just go into the Congress of the United States and review what those Congress are debating. And you say, how in the world I vote for this fellow? It is because there is no God in their heart. There is no God. They want to be like the other nations around. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It's absolutely a chaos in our nation. It is not a gasoline at $5 or $6 or $7 or $9 like they said by the end of the year. No, it is not the problem. The problem is spiritual. America has a spiritual problem. They do not know the book. And they do not know the book because the generation of the 60s forgot about God. President Ortega told me eye to eye in 1982, read the Bible to the schools, please. And you give me those children, and in 25 years, I have a new nation. He would not worry about the businessman and the other. He worried about the grammar school. If I can have all the grammar school in my hand and teach them communism in 25 years, when those children grow up, we're all communists. Did one mistake. I brought red Bibles, free, for all of them, and they all read it. You see, what are we going to do? Joshua was a man who knew how to choose. I'm going to serve the Lord. My conclusion is in Psalm 119 and in verse 30, which is a very remarkable and wonderful statement by the psalmist, the author of Psalm 119. Look at what the psalm says. The psalmist is all about, the Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. And in Psalm 119 and in verse 30, the Bible said, I have chosen the way of truth. What is truth? In John Gospel, in chapter 17, and in verse 17, the Bible tells you what is truth. In John Gospel 17, the Bible clearly says for you what is truth. Sanctify them, said Jesus in his prayer to the Father, by your truth. And then Jesus put it in this small way. Your word is truth. And so when the psalmist in Psalm 119 revealed to us that and said, I have chosen the way of truth, that should be your choice as you leave this place. I will choose the way of truth, the Bible. I'm a believer already. I know the Lord already. I'm going to stake and stand and not become like the Amorites or the God of the other side of the Jordan. I will become a servant of God. I will choose God and serve God and give to God the honor and the glory he deserves. I was talking to a Jew, a nice man, a businessman. He was surprised that for the dimension of this church, we are making such a building. And he said to me, do you have some Jewish people with you? And I say, no, even though we have one. But I said, no. And he said, because we Jewish people know how to give. Whether we like it or not, he said, the rabbi will call you and you give your tithe to the storehouse. And I asked him, I said, are you saved by that? No, he said, I hate it, but I have to do it. It's in our blood to give to the storehouse. I never forgot those words. It's in our blood to give to the storehouse. When you play soccer, you don't play soccer by learning, somebody teaching you. It has to be in your blood. You know those professionals who play, nobody taught them. It's in their blood. You don't learn this pass and the other. It's natural. What we call natural. And I wish every believer would have that nature to give. He told me, if a church will give the tithe, will be greater than Bank America. And we, the Jewish people, have more money than anybody because we give our tithe to the storehouse. I thought, what a shame. What a shame. We call ourselves dad, and we are no living. We are no giving the example to our family. May God bless us that we may recover. This is not a pessimist sermon. It's a challenging sermon. I want to challenge you. Don't be just like that. Don't excuse yourself. America is bad. That's baloney. Just be strong in the Lord. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right like God told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And move on and serve the Lord with all your capacity. And bring your family with you. Be a man. Bring your family with you. And God's going to be honored. America's going to be honored. And we will recover this country. Not by the election of a president, but by us turning to God and serve Him with all our might. Thank you, Father, for the challenging words of Joshua. Thank you, Lord, that this man, in spite of his position, in spite that he was older, he put time for his family. And he gave his family the best. Not a car, not a house, not $10 million, but he gave to the family Jehovah. Oh, Father, bless us that we may show to our family the strength of Jehovah and that we be faithful to you as we declare with our mouth that we are believers. We said we are members of Bethel Baptist Church. Oh, God, cause the men in this church to fill this church in the morning and the evening and the afternoon so that we may have a church that really means what they said. God, forgive us for disobeying you. Forgive us for taking the call so lightly. Forgive us for taking this salvation of ours as granted. And cause us to be faithful. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Creator, you are all.
Thank you so much. And before I bring the benediction, two things I want to do. Number one, I'm going to have Matthew and Andrew here. They recite for us Matthew chapter 5 by memory with the men. They stood up before all the men and they say it. Now, you guys know that I love Mercedes-Benz. And so I brought for you these Mercedes-Benz that you're going to frame, you and your brother. All right? Serve the Lord at this nation in Iraq, what, three times already, Lord? Two times already. And so the Lord brought him back. And I want you to give a great hand.
Amen.
We pray, I remember in his house when he left for the second time. And I pray with all my heart for your protection. And Ryan will grow again in the Lord and in his duties. And you have been faithful and protected and brought him back to the family and to us. We are grateful. So Father, I pray that he may follow your steps with faithfulness. And that we all may follow your steps with faithfulness. Just like a military man does to his commander. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you give us this victory today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.